Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hopefully, we're not feeling like we're just winding down now. That's kind of what I felt when I stepped out. I said, you know, when people are going back, I'm like, well, I'm kind of feeling like things are winding down. But hopefully, we're going winding up. You know, the I had two good messages prepared. But then this morning at 5:30, that changed. So I was rushed this morning, trying to get some things down that the Lord was sharing with me, totally different than the way I wanted to go. Charlene tells me, why do you even study and get all this stuff ready? She says, you never use it. And I, well, at least I learned from it. I may not use it, but I learned from it. So, but anyway, it's all changed. I'm thrilled with it. And let's just see what God does with what he gave me. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, to Mark's Gospel, chapter 9. Just want to read a couple of verses there. I think it really fits with today. And the title I'd like to give this, I do sad... Some people can come up with good names of their messages, and I don't know. I can't so much anyway, but I just call this If You Can Believe. So in Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23 through 24, it says, Jesus said, this is a man that brought his son for healing. First he came to his disciples, and they couldn't do it. So now he comes to Jesus. Jesus is back and asks what was going on. And so here's this man bringing his son who was demon-possessed and was in dire need of healing. Kind of like today. Y'all mentioned the people that are hurting and the sickness and the needs that we have health-wise. It's basically the same thing. We're coming to the Lord. And we prayed about it. And that's what this man is doing. So you can kind of understand where he's at. He's got nowhere else to go. The disciples failed, but what about Jesus? Because when he came to Jesus, he said, if you can do anything, can you help us, basically? And this is what Jesus said, you know, our prayers for healing yet, and that we need to realize that it's just not about, God, you do this. It's all up to you. And Jesus is saying this. He says to the man, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. But Father, we lift ourselves up to you as this man did to Jesus. And he was hoping, Lord, that someone could help him. And Father, we come to you with our healings and our needs for our loved ones and even for ourselves. And Lord, we thank you that we know that you can. But Lord, sometimes we doubt if you will. But I know, Lord, that you are willing and able. And a lot of times it falls on us. Lord, we need to learn to believe. And not doubt, but simply to believe and to trust you. Lord, I ask that you would help us to do that this morning and that it would be for the rest of our lives. So Lord, thank you for your healing strength, that by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed, past tense. And so disease doesn't belong to us. Sickness is not ours, and we shouldn't be holding on to it. Lord, it belongs to you. You take it, you destroy it. It's not your gift to us at all, but your healing is our gift. And so, Lord, we received your gift. And Lord, we believe. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we only live in this world one time. This is it. When we die, you'll never live this life again, or any life really like it. This is human life. God's given it to us, I think, to learn and to realize how faithful and how good he is. But I hate to get to the point and to the place to where I miss so much of God's goodness. Folks, there's so many people that have missed out on it. How about those that commit suicide? They give up. They just quit. They're done. They're fed up. No more trying. And then they take their own lives. And so they miss out on all the goodness. Do you ever notice how good sometimes, well, most of the time, things get after you go through a trial? Do you ever notice that? Look at the disciples, and Jesus walked on the water to meet them with the boat. Here they're worrying about sinking because the boat's filling up. And here comes Jesus walking on the water. But you know, in Mark's gospel, it says that Jesus would have passed them by. Just like when we're in the storms of our lives and needing the healings that we're asking and trying to believe for. It's a storm. It hurts. We wonder when it's going to be over and taken care of. But see, if we don't learn to touch and get a hold of Jesus, because he's walking by, and a lot of times we get passed by. Folks, we got to learn to believe and not doubt. Doesn't mean we have to be perfect, because this man had problems with doubt. But he asked for help on that. And that should be our prayer too. Lord, help us to believe and not doubt. Let me learn to trust you, Lord, in what you say. We live this life once. Sickness comes because the enemy is trying to steal your life and deny you the comfort of walking with the Lord and being blessed by him, you and you watching and seeing your family grow and whatnot. Folks, this is serious. Our lives are serious. Everything the Lord wants to share with us, it's life and death. It's so real. So that's why I say we have to learn how to believe. Believing's not just a feeling. It's not the things that we see. That all lies. It's not our feelings and our thoughts. They shouldn't lead us or rule. What we need to do is say, God, you said. God, you said. And I want to stand on that. Take my unbelief and give me faith that I can believe. You know, one thing the devil really fears about us knowing. See, he's not really excited about us coming to church. He goes to church. The demons go to church at times. That's not a concern. What's a real concern to him is if we ever come to the place where we know that we know who we really are in Christ and who he is for us. That's what he fears the most, because that's when we gain power. That's when we can believe and trust. That's when we see results. Does it mean everything goes perfect? Because God is constantly growing our faith. You know, it's important for us to grow our faith and to grow closer to the Lord. And a lot of these issues is what allows us to be able to do that. You know, it's like the 10 virgins. Here they're waiting, and they're all righteous, they're all holy, they're all saved. But five of them didn't have the extra oil that they needed. How many people in church today don't have the extra oil? So that when a loved one gets sick, or when you get sick, that you don't have that extra oil to draw and say, no, my God said. I know what the doctor said, and I appreciate that. But yet I know what the great physician says. He said that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. And therefore, I am healed. Y'all see how that works? So important to get this down. And I know a lot of people think they have it down. I talked with the prisoners Thursday. They had us, it was a 3-hour service that we had. So we had the east side, the west side, we all joined together. And they had us break up in 6-man groups. And what you would do is talk about the problems that you face and the doubts that you have and the hurts and on and on. And you should hear some of these things. These guys, you know, they're there. And see, their concept is I'm nothing anymore. I'm just a convict. No one loves me. No one cares. Because their family has thrown them away. And so they're trying to face life with all of that. They lose everything. But see, what they don't realize is who Jesus is in them. Do y'all know that we're the righteousness of Christ Jesus? He paid the price. He put his blood on us. We're totally sanctified. We don't have to earn a thing. All we need to do is believe. Doesn't the word say believe and receive? Can't earn salvation. It's a gift. It's a gift through believing and receiving. You see, we're the righteousness of Christ Jesus, but we get the power of the Lord Jesus. You say, you can speak to the demons. You can speak to the sickness. Didn't Jesus say that? He says, you know, you need to speak to the mountain. Be thou lifted, cast into the sea. And he said, if you believe, he said, it'll obey you. So we need to learn how to really believe. And with that, we can resist the devil. Instead of him planting fear, doubt, and it's not going to work, you can say, get behind me, Satan. I know better. My God said. And there's time. I'll read scripture to him. Just sit down. Hey, you want to talk? Let's look at what the word says. Isn't that how Jesus defeated Satan? And these 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness? He defeated him with the word. So I want you to go now, if you would, to Luke chapter 10. Let's see if I got the right. Luke chapter 10. Do you know Jesus had 70 disciples at one time? Not counting the 12. But he had 70 others. And so he was growing. Things were happening. So the 70 were sent out. Starting with verse 1, Luke chapter 10, it says, "After the things the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, 'The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord for the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" Verse 3, "Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among the wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the way. But whatever house you enter, say, 'Peace to this house.' And if the Son of Peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, he'll return to you." You know, that's really a big thing. We try to witness to people, but you got to witness to people that have, that can accept peace, that want to hear. They would like to change. In other words, the Lord's been dealing with them earlier and in their lives. And now here you come and you're answering some questions that had come up in their lives that the Lord revealed to them. And so it's kind of like, yeah, tell me. I would like to hear about that. So your peace remains. I did a weekend once with Carrix, and I had to share. And you know me, I just share things. And I share about, I go in, you know, and the Holy Spirit leads me. And I said, my problem is I don't know where they're at, what they've been taught, you know, about God's word. So I said, it makes it a little rough for me to preach to them at times. I said, I have to just end up preaching, you know, what I came with. And I said, but it would really be nice if some people were maybe more informed or taught better. And then I looked at the whole row of preachers on the side, and I said, this is something you guys ought to do, is make sure you preach the word of God to the people. And I probably ought not have said that. But it made them very angry. I didn't mean it as such. I was trying to encourage that maybe we ought to do a little more and be cautious of what we preach and how we preach it and realize the importance of it. Because a lot of churches are just stuck with the same old churchy church that we always do. And there's really nothing that they've learned. They've heard it all before. So it's like mainly it's a time of get together and a time to just visit and see each other, which is not bad. But folks, don't you think you ought to go to a dinner table and be able to eat something nourishing? See, that's why I take the word so serious. That's why I let the Lord change our ministry. I don't just go to my little box and just say, oh, let's see, which one do I want to preach today? Well, I think I'll do this one. Yeah. I'm an evangelist. Come to our church and do that. He had like 100 or a couple hundred messages in this little box. That's before we had computers and all of that stuff. And I said, well, what are you going to preach on tonight? So you guys, little box, well, I don't know, maybe this, or we could do this one. I mean, which one has God given you to preach? I don't want your leftovers thrown out to us. I want a fresh word. Man, I like my food warm. I don't want an old sandwich from the refrigerator that you try to warm up. You understand what I'm saying? It's like the bread just seems to get kind of moist and soggy at times. But that's how a lot of ministers do. It's just, it's not that important to them. But folks, I see this as food. How are you going to believe if you don't hear the truth? How are you going to receive what God wants to give you? Nobody tells you. So he sends them out, and they return. Verses 17, it says, then the 70, that's in, still in Luke 10, 17. It says, they returned, and they said, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents, serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall be by any means hurt you. And then he says in verse 20, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Folks, I think that's something we really need to rejoice in, that we are written in the book of life in heaven. That's so important. Then there was a problem. They just had a great time. Well, now Jesus is teaching them different things. See, he's getting fresh stuff out. And he's trying to draw the people into more of God. But they couldn't receive it. They started to reason. What is he doing? What is he? We got to eat bread? Because if you turn to John chapter 6, they started to doubt, it says, and had unbelief, and because of reasonings. Do you guys hear things from me a lot of times that you don't understand? I'm sure you do, right? Well, what do you do with it? Do you just say, push it to the side? Or do you maybe dig into it and seek it out and pray about it and get the revelation from it? See, unless you understand it, you don't get the revelation. I like what it says in Acts 17. I'll just read it to you. It's about the Berean people. Verse 11 and 12, it says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were true or not, whether they're so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also a few of the Greeks, the prominent women as well as men. But these disciples, these 70 who were bent out, who had done the work of God, cast out demons, healed the sick, done all these marvelous things, and God worked through them. They were so excited. But now something was said that they didn't quite understand. Look at John chapter 6, verse 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And here's the reasoning. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? And Jesus therefore answered them. He says, do not murmur with yourselves, among yourselves. Verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now I want you to listen to this, verse 45. This is something I've wondered about a lot. How some people are so excited, hear the word, and they do so much with it. They're just so engulfed with the things of God. And then you got other people are kind of like, it's okay. Good people. Real good people. But there's nothing there. There's really no excitement. But verse 45 says this. It is, now this is talking about the 70 who had been out, who had seen the power of God work through them. And they came back all excited, but now all of a sudden, just because they didn't agree or understand because of their doubt, their unbelief, their questioning, they want to leave. They're upset with Jesus and want to leave. Verse 45. It is written in the prophets that they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Folks, do you see a little difference here? Most of us, before we came to the Lord and were saved, God had already been working on us. There's things going in our life. Doesn't mean we know it's God talking to us, but there's things happening, situations going on. Maybe different people, hardships, a surprise blessing, and you're really not thinking about God. Well, God's teaching. God's working. And then you come to Jesus and you're saved. But see, you've already been trained somewhat with God. Now you've got more strength, basically, because of that training from God, that teaching that the Lord gave you prior, than a lot of people who just come in haphazardly. They've not been really led by the Lord nor taught by Him. It's just kind of like, oh, this is good. Yeah, I think, yeah, I like these people. I'll just be part. I'll be part of them. But folks, a lot of times they're the ones that fall away. Y'all understand what I'm trying to say? That was revelation to me. I was like blown away. I said, God, I kind of wondered about people because you can talk to them and share scripture and different things, and it's like it didn't catch on fire. It was like using wet kindling to start a fire with a spark, you know? Doesn't work. So anyway, I wasn't even looking for that at the time. Lord just kind of showed it to me, and I'm like, wow, thank you, Jesus. Just little things like that. And Luke, again, 7:23 says this. And said, verse 23, Luke 7:23, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You know, I have a lot of people get offended at me and my preaching. I had one minister tell me, he said, Jim, you make me so mad when you're talking about the Holy Spirit at times. That he said, to keep me from blowing up and throwing something at you, he says, I read Psalms and try to tune you out. And I'm like, well, I'm sure people did that with Jesus. But Jesus says, blessed are those who are not offended at me. Folks, there's things we don't know, we don't understand that you're going to see in the Word, you're going to hear it preached. And you know, it says in the word that these people left. These 70 walked away from Jesus. Jesus said, now they were written in the book of life. They were written in heaven. Be thankful for that, he says. That's in John 6:60, verse 60. It says that many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? He said, it is the Spirit who gives life, that the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there is some of you who do not believe. In verse 66, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go? I like what Simon says, but Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Now, folks, there's been people that ask me, do you believe that, and I've mentioned it here lots of times, do you believe in once saved, always saved? Let me put it this way. I do believe that because you can't, it won't be taken from you. Your salvation will not be taken from you. I'm not going to accidentally one day wake up and I'm going to be lost. That's not going to happen because the Lord guards my heart. But see, what happens that we can lose our salvation is that when we walk away, like these 70 did. You see, they wasn't taught by God. They were caught up in the thrill of watching Jesus heal and raise the dead and all the good things that Jesus shared. And they wanted to be part of that, so they became his disciples. But later, through controversy, through a problem, through questions that they had or things that they believed, that it went against that, so they're done. I had a young man in prison who asked me that one time, says, I had just had my hand on his shoulder, and he put his around my waist, and we stood in praise and worship like that. Because I cared for him. We were friends. And so he asked me at the end, he says, Jim, do you believe once saved, always saved? And I said, I didn't want to answer, but yet I knew I had to. And I said, no, I don't believe that. And it devastated him. He walked out of the room and he never came back since. That's been over a year ago. Folks, this is what happens. Or when you have a loved one get sick or even die. Like Richard. Remember Richard, the homeless guy? His wife and son were killed in a home fire while he was gone. And then he ran from God and became homeless. He just left everybody. His other kids, family, friends, everybody. He was gone. So now he's been on the street for several years. And Dakota, in his ministry, meets him and starts ministering more personal with him. And he's starting to be drawn to the Lord. Then I go and meet him. And so I'm sharing things with me. And he would call me all the time and we would talk. He was wanting to come up and spend a lot of the summer with us in June this year. This happened in May. He was going to go home, visit his daughter. Hadn't seen her in a while. And his daughter came down with a stage 4 cancer. And doctors were going to treat her, but she refused. She's in her 40s. And so she's going to die, and he knows that because she refuses treatment. She said, I just want to die. So he kind of like her dad who just threw everything away and ran. Don't care about the kids or the family. Don't be there to console them and give them strength and love on them to make this tragedy a little easier on everybody. No, you just run. And he was a Marine. It's like, that wasn't your training. And then he calls, well, he calls Dakota, and he's angry. I hate God. I'm not serving God anymore. God had spoken to him a week or so earlier. And as he was trying to tell me about that experience, all he could do was weep because it touched him so strongly in his spirit. And he was on his way. He was just that close to receiving the Lord. And Dakota said, you better call him. So I called Richard, how are you doing, man? What's going on? And he told me about his daughter and that. And he says, I'm just done with God. He killed my wife and child, and now he's killing my daughter. And he says, I'm done. You want me to serve God? He sees no God to serve. I hate him. I'm going back to my drugs and my alcohol. I'm going back with my friends on the street. That's where I belong. And he cursed and cursed. It was. Finally, I just had to hang up. We've tried to call him since, but he's not taking our calls. You see, the Lord warns us in John 15 when he talks about the vine and the branches. When we produce fruit, he works with us so that we produce more fruit. But he says those that don't produce, those that just want to look good and have some leaves, he says he cuts them off. And then he says, they're like a branch. Did you ever cut a, well, remember the storm that we went through? It broke all the tops out of the trees and a lot of the limbs off. Now, what did those limbs look like after a month or so? Do you notice how they withered and dried up and the leaves just kind of fell off and they were dead, right? They just, see, that's what it is when we leave the Lord and we run from him. You don't get better. You get worse. It's all downhill. It's kind of like Peter saying, who else has the words of life? Lord, we believe you're the Son of God. We've got nowhere to go. You're the only one. It's either Jesus or it's hell. Because if we're not walking with the Lord, we're going to dry up like a broken off branch. And it says that later they gather them and throw them into the fire. Folks, there's a lot of good church people in hell because they didn't understand. They didn't stick. They didn't stay. You don't have to earn salvation. That's paid for. But if you break yourself off, folks, you're going to die. That's your choice. Nobody can take salvation from you. You throw it away. You give it up. Hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I guess my question is to you, has the Lord been training you? Has the Lord been teaching you? Is he drawing you closer, making your heart more pure? Bringing more revelated knowledge to you? Folks, I know we all need more and we all want to be closer, but it takes time to do that. And the Lord will bring us to that point. But we've got to let him. We can't just throw it all away and say, God, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. I'm done. Like the young man that couldn't take because I didn't believe the way he believed. He wouldn't let me explain. As his mind was made up, once saved, always saved. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm going to heaven. Like one minister told me when I asked him after I was first saved, because I'm like, boy, that sounds... Can you imagine if you could just go back and live in sin and do whatever you wanted? What kind of life would you have? You would really mess things up and live miserably. But this minister said to me when I'm thinking, I said, what? Then really not... The Bible you can throw away. If you believe once saved, always saved, and you're going to heaven no matter what, you can throw your Bible away. Because you don't need to really know any of it or do any of it. Now you're no longer held accountable. So I asked this minister, I said, what if I don't want to go to heaven? And he said this to me, he says, Jim, you're going to heaven if you're kicking and screaming. I'm like, really? What kind of place would we be going to? We'd be going to a place where you may not have hell fire, but you'll have so much misery up there because people could hate you, not appreciate you, do bad things to you, rumors going all over. Oh, did you know so-and-so? Yeah, I remember. You know, can you imagine if God would open that up to all of these people who aren't dealing with their stuff? My prayer is that God is dealing with you and teaching you folks. Oh, I love the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word and for your people, for their patience, Lord. Their endurance, Lord, at times to just kind of put up with me. Thank you so much, Lord, for your grace, your faithfulness. Lord, draw us closer to you. And we are the ones, Lord, that you've been teaching and you had brought us to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, and we'll be faithful to you. We're going to see our loved ones healed. And we're going to touch a lot of lives for you. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for us. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.